Grace to you and peace. Today from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Savior. I guess I forgot that every children's sermon ends in a cookie. So try to remember that next time. But happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there today. And I'm thinking about family as I start off this morning. And I remember my two sisters, whom I love and who are very loving. And I remember when we were little children playing on the beach at Cape Cod, some of the fun games we used to play. We used to play beach ball in the water. We used to use our snorkels to go find hermit crabs. I remember building sandcastles with them. But there was one game in the water I wasn't so fond of. And its name was, hold Greg under the water for as long as possible, see how he can hold his breath. I wasn't really fond of that game as a kid. It was not my favorite amongst the games. Of course, I'm not saying this against my sisters at all. We were all really young and little. We only played it a few times. But that was enough for me. And I remember, though, going under the water, fighting for the surface, gasping internally for breath, fighting to try to get up, and I was being held down, and that was not a fun experience. It was not my favorite game, panicking. And again, I don't say this as a negative on my sisters. They've long forgotten this. But I say this simply for this reason, to bring up a point. You don't know how precious your breath is, really, until it's taken away. You're all breathing right now, and you might think a whole sermon on breath. Well, let me take you to the beach and play that little game with you and see whether you think that your breath is important to you or not. Our breath is such a great gift from God, and we want to rejoice in especially two kinds of breath today. One kind that he gives us that we may live spiritually, and another kind that we may live physically, and another one that we may live spiritually. One that we may have life in our physical bodies, another breath, as we'll see, that God gives us that we may live in our souls. So, we've talked about the tree of life, the book of life, the water of life today. The breath of life. What does God say to us about the breath of life? Let's take a look beginning in Genesis chapter 2 where it's first mentioned. It says here in verse 4 and following, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. God breathed into us the breath of life. Would you all take a nice deep breath with me right now? Doesn't that feel good? I'll keep you from falling asleep. It's an amazing thing, this breath. When you're afraid, your breath gets shallow. And when you're depressed, you breathe little. And then what happens a lot of times is in a body, if you don't have much oxygen, that's where sickness and disease prospers. In fact, there's some cancer therapy that they put oxygen into the people's bodies in various means in order to get rid of the cancer. Cancer can't grow in an oxygen-rich environment. Breath is an amazing gift of God, and God gave it to you. You're all using it right now, the breath of life. Would you return God the thanks that is due him for this great gift, as it's written in Psalm 150? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, there's two kinds of breath. There's the physical and the spiritual. Let's just talk the physical then for another second. When we breathe in, what are we breathing in? Air, which is largely, we're getting the oxygen out of it, right? We breathe out carbon dioxide. What do the plants breathe in? Carbon dioxide. What do the plants breathe out? Oxygen. What do we breathe in? Oxygen, out carbon dioxide. Can you see this beautiful symbiosis where the two, that plants and the trees and the grasses are giving us air and we're giving them air and it goes back and forth like this. It's so beautiful. Well, I think that's the way it ought to be with us and God when it comes to the breath of life. We breathe in the breath of life from Him, which He gives you, and we breathe out to Him, praise and thanks to God Almighty. And then another one, breath of life from God, thanks and praise to God Almighty. Because every breath we have is a gift from our God. We got to give thanks to Him for this gift that we don't often think about and take for granted. What a great gift it is. But there's a problem with this physical breath, isn't there? The problem with this physical breath is that one day you'll take your last breath on earth. It doesn't last forever. There's a comedian, Stephen Wright. You know him? He has a joke where he says, I know when I'm going to die because my birth certificate has an expiration date on it. Joke. I'll wait for laugh. Joke. No, just kidding. We're all going to expire one day, correct? This breath that we have in our lungs, we're not going to breathe it ever. And actually, it says in Genesis chapter 25, Abraham breathed his last. Genesis 35, Isaac breathed his last. Genesis 49, Jacob breathed his last. And it is written also, you one day shall breathe your last. And when your last breath is taken, then you shall die. As it's written in Psalm 104, verse 29, God, when you hide your face, the creatures are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. So I thank God for the breath of life, the gift of life, this physical breath I'm using right now. I praise and thank Him for it. What a great gift. But if it were only for that gift, it would be a sad occasion. Because I will breathe my last as well one day if the Lord tarries. And why is this? Man breathes his last breath, at least this is the way it happened originally, is that because sin entered into the world. Man followed after lifeless idols, as it's written in Psalm 135. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. And then it says, those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. So man worshipped things other than God. Every time you've sinned, you've had some idol in your mind that you've placed ahead of God and followed it. And following these lifeless idols, you have become like them, breathless. In fact, the world is spiritually breathless right now. It has no breath, the wicked world. But all of us have living breath, I mean, in terms of physical, right? Everybody's breathing if they're around. I don't know anybody who's walking around that has no breath. But because of sin, one day our physical breath will cease. And we'll breathe our last. And why is this? Because of sin, and God, with His breath, brings His judgment. As it's written in Isaiah 40, a voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? Cry this, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. In Isaiah 30, His breath, God's breath, is like an overflowing stream that reaches up to the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of destruction. And do you know that at the end of time, when Antichrist is in full measure, it says Jesus Christ will slay him with the breath of His mouth and destroy him by His appearing and His coming? So the breath of God Almighty is strong, isn't it? It has power to judge and power to give life. And so, what is the great good news that we have? We've talked about the physical breath that we have, but the wonderful news is that God has another breath for you, a spiritual breath, to give life to your souls, that a man or woman breathing of this air and this breath shall live forever. The amazing love of God for us. And this is what I'm going to offer you right now to breathe. You ready? There's a story told of a grand old English statesman called William Gladstone. One day he stood up in the English-British Parliament and solemnly announced that he had a statement to make, a sad one. "Princess Alice is dead," he said, "and love did it." Well, what happened was that Princess Alice's little girl was ill with diphtheria. She was near to death. And the doctor, the physician, told the princess, "Don't get near his breath. It is full of diphtheria, lest you die." But then the little daughter looked up from her bed and reached out her tiny arms to her mom and cried out feebly, "Mama, please come and kiss me." And Princess Alice, of course, like any mother, ran and embraced her child and kissed her on the lips, the kiss that brought her own death, despite the warning. At the cost of her own life, she kissed. Now I ask you, this is Mother's Day. What mother among you, if you had a child that had a dread disease and you could catch it if you kissed your child, and yet your child's dying and cries out, "Mama, please come and kiss me," what mother among you would not run immediately and give the biggest kiss you could to your child? Amen? Amen, of course you would. And God says, if you love your children, how much more I love you and am willing to take your kiss of death, that is. For Isaiah 49 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no more compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I've graven you on the palms of my hands." What has God done for us? He gave us the breath of life that we could breathe, but because of sin we die. But God said, "I love you. You cry out to me. Mama, come and kiss me. Father, come and kiss me." He loves you so much, he came and kissed you, though he knew he would die in order to give you life. Jesus came having breathed the perfect air of heaven forever and ever and ever and anon and forever. And then he came and breathed our polluted, filthy, sin-soaked air, disease-filled. He breathed the breath of God's wrath and anger for our sakes to give us life and a new breath, a spiritual breath, that breathing it your souls may live forever. And I'll give you that breath, and as I am even right now. For it's written in Mark 15, "At the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, and someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Let's see whether Elijah will come and take him down.' And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last." He died for you, that you might live. As the hymn or the song goes, "It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished." Do you believe this gospel? Then you are breathing a new air inside your lungs, the breath of everlasting life. For Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you think that's really heavenly air? Can you feel it in your soul right now? Your body. One more time. Ready? You take in earthly air. Can you breathe this in, the gospel? Heavenly air into your soul. Grace. By grace you've been saved through faith, through the gift of God, through his cross, through his atoning sacrifice, through his shed blood. God has forgiven you. Gives you eternal life with him. Isn't fresh air good? York peppermint patty will say so, on top of its mountaintop. I go to the woods and to the seashore. I love to breathe that fresh air. And would you believe this? In Cape Cod, that they actually sell bottled Cape Cod air. They do. You can go to restaurants and they say Cape Cod air is better than any other. And they label it. And they say you can take it home with you. Here, buy our bottle of Cape Cod air. And people buy it. And on the back of the label it says, "You can refill this air anytime on vacation in Cape Cod, because they say this air is fresh." Well, how about the air you're breathing? Heavenly air. Listen to this. John chapter 20, on the day of his resurrection, It says, Jesus stood among them and said, peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He did what? He breathed on them. He did what? He breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. God is giving you a second wind, if you will. A new breath. The Holy Spirit, by faith. That believing in Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit, you're actually breathing something. Though you can't see the air, just like our children's message, right? You can't see the Holy Spirit, but your soul is breathing in this message of grace and living, that you might have a breath that does not expire, but that lives, that you would live forever and ever. And even the word Holy Spirit, the word Spirit in the Greek is pneuma, which means spirit or wind or breath. He is the true breath of life, the Holy Spirit living inside you. Can you say Jesus be cursed? Can you say Jesus be praised? Jesus is Lord? The scripture says, if you can say Jesus is Lord, you have the Holy Spirit. If you say Jesus be cursed, you can't have the Holy Spirit because no one having him could say that. If you can say Jesus is Lord and mean it, then you have the breath of life within you. And so what are we like then? I would liken us then perhaps to scuba divers, because they live in the world below, but they live on the air that they take with them from above. We're moving around in a shipwreck, if you will, down here, trying to bring life to our fellow man, who are but skeletons in a shipwreck, needing the breath of life. But we are constantly living on a breath, not simply this physical one, but the spiritual breath of God and his word. For what's it say in 2 Timothy 3:16? And I'm not making this up. Listen carefully. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for correction, for rebuke, etc. God-breathed. This is the breath of life in Christ. This is God going into your spiritual nostrils, that having it, your souls come to life and live with him. And so why are you here on a Sunday? Why'd you come to church today instead of hang out at home and watch the game or something? It's because you're like a football player. You've gotten the ball, you've run your 80 yards down the field for a touchdown, you spiked the ball. And what do you see on TV when you see a football player do this? The next scene of him on TV is what? He's on the bench, sitting there with an oxygen mask on him, replenishing all that oxygen he was expending during his breathing, running up the field. Well, all week long, you do your plays. You run and carry the kingdom's ball, advancing it as you can. You come back here on Sunday to rest, to sit on the bench with your coach for a moment and breathe in a fresh, huge gulp of pure God-breathed oxygen. Amen? So praise be to God for giving us this great gift. And one more thing then. I said this gift will make you live forever. But I haven't told you yet. Guess what else? Your bodies also will live forever and get a new breath in them such that they will never, ever expire. As it's written in Ezekiel chapter 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of dry bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many upon the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to the bones, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I'll lay sinews upon you and cause the flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and I was as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise. Behold, a rattling, as of bones coming together, bone to its bone. As I looked, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. This is speaking of Israel. It's speaking of you, and in particular of the day of the resurrection. Do you have that breath in you today? Are you breathing the Holy Spirit? Are you breathing in God's word, his gospel, his grace, his cross, his salvation? Then I declare to you, your bones one day also will stand. New sinews shall be put upon them, and God will place a breath in you, the breath of life and the resurrection on the last day. What a great God we serve. What a great Holy Spirit within us. The holy breath, the living breath, the true breath of God. Amen.